Hello, Steve. Hello, Jill. It's time to game classy.
Some might say great clips.
I don't know. There was like, the great clips over by the mall over there. It was like a huge line out in front of it, and I don't know why.
Maybe they're having a sale.
I don't know. Anybody like, I don't, it's weird. I don't know people.
Dollar haircut day?
I don't maybe know. Dollar haircut day.
Oh, that's true too.
Could be. I'm not 100% sure. I don't know people.
It's like when Jimmy John's has lines out the door, they're having that dollar sub day.
Ooh, dollar sub day.
Yeah, that's why they're if you ever see a line coming out the door of Jimmy John's, it's because they're running the dollar subway submarine sandwich special.
I had the free Chipotle burrito for teachers.
I'm sorry.
I know. That's what I was like. Everyone was like, I'm getting my free Chipotle burrito. And I'm like, I'm going to avoid having the shits. Yeah. So
enjoy your free norovirus. You know what's better than paid norovirus? Free norovirus.
Oh, they haven't had that in a while.
Only last year? Yeah.
No, you know what was worse was, what the hell was that sandwich place that was by the bunker?
It's Quiznos?
Quiznos. I got sick almost every time I ever ate from Quiznos.
Really? Because yeah. I used to eat at that Quiznos all the time. Never got sick.
It would be like every third time I ate there, I would get like food poisoning.
Maybe you were ordering the questionable sandwich. Maybe you shouldn't have gone in there and go like, can you give me the most questionable sandwich you have?
I would like your seafood sandwich.
Yeah,
please.
Like, let me get the shrimp and crab Sammy.
Oh.
Oh, that it's just like, the guy's just like, are you sure? There's a green mist coming out of the crab bucket.
The crab bucket. You never order crab when you're in Chicago.
You can get it from Bob Chin's. It's been flown in.
I generally avoid shellfish as much as possible in the Chicagoland
area. If you go to Bob Chin's, you're good, because Bob Chin's gets their shit airlifted in every day.
Nope, I'm going to avoid that issue. I'm buying it at market, which I do on occasion. But at market. That's a little different.
Bob Chin's is the nut high.
No, it's not.
You are absolutely wrong.
No. Anyway, welcome to
It's a Michelin. It's a Michelin like 5-star restaurant. It was voted the best restaurant in the world. You don't think it's good?
No.
There you go. There's my co-host's taste. He thinks the restaurant that was voted the best in the world is not good.
Welcome to Game Classy. I am your host Joe, and with me as always my co-host Steve. We are the pre-existing condition for your health. This week
we've done it.
There's our political humor for the day. So starting off, just some gaming stuff. Got to talk with some people from the GW, some higher ups, about Warhammer 40K, the new edition. So here's your stuff that's already probably out there somewhere, and you know, if you're too lazy to actually go and hear about it, 12 pages of rules, not the 2 pages of rules. Or how much is Age of Sigmar?
I believe Age of Sigmar is technically four.
Four pages of rules. So two pages.
Three times as many rules.
Yeah. So it's 2 pages back and front. This will be 6 pages back and front. No more universal special rules. No more universal movement. So everything's going to have its own individualized movement.
And no initiative. No ninjitiative.
No ninjas. So it's like, it's, you know, whoever charges first gets to combat and blah, blah, blah. You know, the normal stuff that they did for Change of Age of Sigmar, they just have they probably have the 6 rules because tanks and flyers are going to be a little bit more complicated than Age of Sigmar.
They're making them more streamlined, though, because everything's going to have wounds, I believe.
Yeah.
So and that's good. That's something that vehicles have needed for a long time.
They might even get rid of, like, the front side and back armor BS.
That would be fine. The thing that was always a problem with vehicles, I believe, in the consensus opinion, is that it was always like that damage chart was always so wonky because you would have the consistency wasn't there because it was so random. You'd have like, well, it just blew up in the first turn, and then your Land Raider could be killed immediately on the first turn with 2 dice rolls or be an invincible behemoth through the entire game because your opponent rolls a lot of ones.
Yeah.
So that's not. That's not really where you want anything to be in your game. Yeah. Like, you don't want things to be that swingy.
You know, it's like, you know, that's the way it is in bolt action currently. the
swingy. It's either like it's either invincible or death immediately based on luck.
Yeah, but the main difference is that in bolt action you can only take one tank. In 40K, okay, you're running like 20 Lehman Russes, Lemon Russes. Or, you know, you got, like, I have...
Well, depending on which edition you're in, there was the, I think, fourth or maybe fifth. One of them was considered the parking lot edition.
Yeah, that was fifth, I believe.
Yeah, parking lot edition.
Because I believe it was, like, fifth was parking lot, six was, like...
No vehicles?
No, I think six was, like, all about flyers, wasn't it?
Yeah.
And then seventh and eighth are just like, ah!
Whatever.
Eighth edition is the rulebook.
Nobody knows how to actually play.
Eighth edition is the rulebook edition. You know, and the thing is...
The edition edition?
The edition edition. The new edition. The wonky thing with eighth edition, and just in my opinion, and you know, I haven't done anything with 40K probably since fifth, okay? But...
That's about right for me.
Yeah. And so I'm like, okay, you know, whatever. I'm looking into it. I'm like, and they have all these rule books, and none of the rule books, like, I don't know what any of that means. Like, they're all called, like, Cruciatus. And I'm like, what does that even mean? Is this Imperial Guard? Is this, you know, Space Marines? What is this? And they're like, I don't know.
Well, I think because a lot of them are, like, quasi-campaign books. So,
yeah.
Like, they have, like, rules and also missions and stuff. So they're a little bit they're different than the Age of Sigmar has a few books like that, but they, like, they're more straightforward than the 40K ones were.
You know what?
Because they have, like, the Realm of Chaos one, which is just terrain and then, like, has some scenarios.
Well, as far as I know, there's, like, the Realmgate Wars books, and there's four of those.
Yeah.
Then they have all of the faction books.
Like, Quest for Galmaraz is, like, one of their books. And, like...
Yeah, that's all the Realmgate Wars.
Every
yeah.
40K book is, like, Quest for Galmaraz.
Yeah.
Instead of, like, a few books being like that.
I was looking into it because I was like, I kind of want to get into Age of Sigmar a little bit more. I've been... Since I've been laid up with the back, I've started going back to doing a little bit of fantasy painting just because... I've been bored, and I'm like, I want to paint something that's colorful instead of painting everything that's drab green, like I've been doing, or gray, and bolt action. So I'm like, I'm going to
chest high walls. You know what? Historical war games are the chest high walls of miniature gaming.
Oh, no. You know what's even worse, though? It's that that everything, there's chest high walls in the game. However, always, like, these fucking companies getting in their heads, I'm going to make some guy lying prone with a gun and make it have to be LOS. Like... Oh,
yeah,
Jesus Christ, why do you have to make this so fucking complicated?
The worst.
But anyway, what's that? Oh, yeah, so I've been doing a lot more fantasy stuff, and I've been looking at the Age of Sigmar books a little bit more just to try and get into it. And I was looking at the Realmgate Wars books, and I'm like, $65 a piece? What the fuck? These things better, like...
Yeah, they're expensive.
They're real expensive.
They're huge
books.
Hardcover expensive books. But the first expensive, because those all the older hardcover books for Sigmar are super expensive, but all the newer ones are much cheaper.
Well, it depends. Like, so, like, there's the General's Compendium, and, like,
all the soft covers are very cheap.
Yeah, they're like
all of the soft covers.
They're
are.
Only like $20.
Yeah, the soft covers are very fine. Like. A-okay pricing.
Yeah. The hardcovers for, like, the new...
Range.
Like, the dwarf, the flying dwarves, the Baron Harkonnen dwarves.
Those guys are awesome.
I think they're so stupid looking.
They're awesome. I love their little balloons.
Okay. So here's... Okay, I got two problems with those. One is that I think... I don't like the super mechanical look to them. Like, it's fine, but I think that it's a little... It's too much. It's too much mechanical... For a fantasy game, like, I like the airships. I think the airships are really cool. I just think that the individualized models are kind of stupid looking. They look like squats. And I'm like, this. I don't want any 40K in my fantasy, you know?
I mean, Age of Sigmar is like sword and sorcery fantasy, so you're going to have weird-ass shit like metal dwarves.
I get it. And, you know, and it looks a lot like the Dragonforge stuff or the
Oh, their Clockwork Dwarf Army?
Yeah.
Titanforge?
Mm-hmm. Titanforge. That's what it is, not Dragonforge. Titanforge.
Hey, so if you have a Clockwork Dwarf Army from Titanforge already, bam.
Yeah.
You've got the Karazhan and Overlords.
Yeah. And the other thing I hate about it, I hate the fucking paint job. I don't know who is doing the studio painting for Age of Sigmar, but I just think that they're the ugliest paint jobs I've ever seen on models.
They just look like metal to me.
That's the problem, is, like, you don't have to paint them all metal. You know, I learned that very early when my GW painting is, like, when someone says, just because it's a piece of metal, you don't have to paint it silver. Like, you could paint any color you want, you know? And I'm like, really? Yeah, look at all these models over here that show this. I'm like, look at these corn guys. I got red armor. I'm like, oh, my God, that's great. It opened up a whole brand new. It's like a whole new world.
Of colors.
Yeah. And so the studio goes out and they paint it. And like, we're going to paint everything gold or brass. Okay, so these are the ugliest fucking models you guys have ever put out. And ugliest painted models. They are some of the worst painted models I've ever seen. Clean paint jobs, don't get me wrong there. Probably touched up a little bit in the Photoshop. But still, just like, Jesus Christ. I don't know. That's my Karadabaran overlords.
I'd like to remember how to say them, but I can't.
Yeah. what's the fire slayers or whatever they're called? Are they fire slayers?
I think that's what they're called.
Yeah. I think their hardcover book is like $180.
Probably. I mean, that would be in line with their miniatures.
Oh my God.
That line is so expensive.
But anyway, the 40K, they're going to do the major release with the Death Guard.
Yeah, the rumor mill is that the new starter is going to be Ultramarines versus Death Guard.
Yeah, Ultramarines versus Death Guard.
Which
Ultra!
Is pretty cool.
You love your Death Guard.
I do. And the Ultramarines are going to be cool now. So
the Ultramarines are never going to be cool.
They're going to be cool.
They're never going to be cool.
They're going to be cool.
How are they going to be cool?
I don't know. Just, I got a feeling. Ultramarines are going to be cool.
The lights. I hate that song. I think the Black Eyed Peas are the single greatest cause of the fall of Western civilization. I know that's my old man, grumpy gamer BS, but whatever.
I mean, they're definitely
the worst band ever.
I think they're more of like a representation of popular music, where like they're all of their songs are catchy. Like that song, "Tonight's the Night." Da, 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 da. Like they're a perfect encapsulation of what pop music is.
Yeah.
Like their songs are meaningless. They're all catchy. They have a pleasing sound, but at the end you're just like, why?
Yeah. And they put it in the soundtrack for a movie that's called like
of whatever.
Arbor Day.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. They're like I said, they're a perfect encapsulation of everything wrong and right about pop music.
Yeah, I mean, and they're all like people who like work in the industry who are like, hey, let's just make music so that we can make a lot of money.
Yes, yeah, but it's good. They're the Iron Man formula of music.
Do you see Guardians of the Galaxy yet? Probably not.
I
just came out yesterday.
I think I'm
going to
see
Tuesday's
it
ago.
Today or tomorrow.
I'm going to see it tonight at the drive-in.
I've heard it's good.
It's pretty good. It's a very, very, very tight script. I don't know if it's the right script for Guardians of the Galaxy, but I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I heard it's good. So,
it's got Kurt Russell, and Kurt Russell's amazing.
I like Kurt Russell. I liked the first Guardians. It's going to be pretty hard for me not to enjoy this film,
yeah.
I think.
They
would have to catastrophically shit the bed, and from what it sounds like, they didn't. The consensus seems to be split on whether or not it's slightly worse, as good, or slightly better than the first one. That seems to be the range.
Yeah, I mean,
it's slightly or equal in either direction.
Yeah, I mean, I think for the first one, I think on Comic Logic, I gave it an A-. I'd say that this one is either anywhere from the B+ to an A range. I'm not gonna.
Yeah, same.
Yeah, it's pretty much almost identical.
Yeah, so I'm looking forward to it because the last Marvel movie I saw was Civil War, and I thought the movie sucked.
Did you saw Doctor Strange?
Oh wait, I did see I saw Civil War after Doctor Strange. So technically, Civil War was the last movie I saw, even though Doctor Strange being blatantly the Iron Man formula. Yeah. Damn, it was entertaining.
It's because you love Benedict Cumberbatch.
I do like Benedict Cumberbatch, but I also really like Doctor Strange. He's my favorite Marvel character. Yeah, Doctor Strange by far. Doctor Strange is by far my favorite Marvel character. So,
really, he's your favorite Marvel character?
He's my favorite Marvel character.
Not a huge. I mean, like, I like Doctor Strange. I love his design. I like that he looks.
I mean, his aesthetic is one of the reasons I really like him.
Yeah.
But yeah, as far as like Marvel, like I've never been huge in Marvel. Like but my favorite character by far is Doctor Strange. I think he's the most interesting Marvel character. And I love, again, his aesthetic is top notch.
I've always loved top men. Top museum quality.
He is top museum quality.
I think if I had to pick Marvel characters that I like, I love Daredevil. Daredevil's always been like one of my favorite characters. And, certain runs of Thor I really like. Sometimes Thor is amazing. Most of the times Thor is awful. But like when Thor is amazing, like when he's got a great writer on it, I'm like, yes. But yeah. So Guardians of the Galaxy, I think whether or not you like it will depend on how much of Baby Groot you can handle. Like if you're like, this is too much Baby Groot. I can't handle it.
I'm indifferent towards Baby Groot.
I see. That's the thing is, like, some people are going to be like, blatant blah, blah, blah. You know, blatant marketing, toys, babies. I want, you know, gritty, realistic Guardians of the Galaxy that I deserve. You know, that's what I think most people. But no, I enjoyed it. I thought it was good. I thought it was a good, like, second movie, too.
Okay.
Like,
I heard there's like five after credit scenes.
Yeah. one of them, spoiler alert. Okay, I won't spoil
yeah,
it.
Yeah, I don't want to hear it.
You see Howard the Duck's penis.
All right. it better shoot out super far, like a duck, you know.
No, like, yeah, the duck's 12-foot penis or whatever, yeah, it is.
It fires out like a rocket.
Like Rocket Raccoon?
I bet you there's porn of that.
Probably.
Just Rocket Raccoon is Howard the Duck's penis. I guarantee that there's someone's drawn that.
Yeah. And I think,
and if not, someone heard this and is drawing it right now.
Yes. I think one of my things I like most about Guardians of the Galaxy is I like that the actors that they get for it are not top tier actors. With the exception of like Zoe Saldana, who's a very good actress.
I mean, Chris Pratt's pretty high end at this point.
He's
no unknown at this point.
Back in the when it first started, he was
But I mean, it launched him into being a I would say superstar level, because you know he then starred in Jurassic World, which was the number one grossed film for until Star Wars came along, I believe.
I think domestic gross, not international.
So he started making some bank and became quite huge.
Yeah, it was the same year. I think he did Guardians of the Galaxy, the Lego movie, and like Jurassic World. It came out in the same year
of Pratt.
Yeah. It was like that year that Colin Farrell did like 800 movies.
But Colin Farrell sucks.
Yeah, but back in the day, Hollywood loved him.
I don't know why.
I don't know.
I think, didn't all those movies bomb? Like the Total Recall remake bombed, and like...
He always makes money. It's not like we think it bombs, but if it makes like double its budget,
when I say bomb, I do specifically mean like a movie that does not make profit.
Yeah,
I believe the Total Recall movie bombed.
I don't think that there's any movies that don't make profit anymore. Like you got to, like when you talk about like with
you have
DVDs,
to include advertising.
Yeah, advertising. Well, advertising is double budget. So if you if a movie costs $100 million to make, you could say that it's going to be about $200 million with the advertising on top of it. So you take that $200 million, even if the movie makes domestically, or let's say worldwide gross, $75 million, so that puts it at $125 million in the hole, it more than likely will get that money back through streaming and rental services and everything else on top of that, and, you know, DVD sales. So... You know, it's not as... And then they license it to TV. They license it to HBO. They get
Sony
a bunch of movies
got shit on this year. The total 2016, their financial reports of Sony Pictures, they did not have a good time.
Oh, no, I'm thinking Universal. Because I'm like, didn't Fast and the Furious come out?
Yeah, no, Fast and Furious is fucking bank. Yeah, no.
That's Universal.
Yeah, no, Sony, Ghostbusters lost them a lot of money. Yeah. And like a bunch of other this stuff did. It was not so good.
Well, I think they're going to get a chunk of money when Spider-Man comes out in the summer.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
That movie's going to be successful.
Yeah. All right. Other gaming stuff. I went to Little Wars last weekend. That was fun. Got to not be...
Oh, with your debilitated state, you must have fit right in.
I fit right... I was just about to say that. I was not the only guy walking around with a cane hobbling around. Just a couple cool things that I saw. I saw Ed Spettigue was there with his...
Galactic.
With his Battle of Valor stuff, the 15 mil fantasy, picked up some of the dwarves. So just to, you know, do some painting on that stuff. It's fun.
I love his 15 mil models. They're cool.
Essentially,
15 mil is a cool scale.
Essentially, the game, I'm not 100% sure on the mechanics, but it feels a lot like 6th edition fantasy.
Okay.
So you're playing 6th edition fantasy with 15 millimeter models. Is kind of what it feels like.
That sounds good to me.
Yeah. I mean, if you like it, that's it's pretty great for that. And everything kind of just feels like a little bit of scaled up Warmaster. So even if you wanted to use this stuff for Warmaster, like a 15 mil Warmaster game, you could do that as well.
Nice.
Which I think, actually, a 15 mil Warmaster game might not be bad, because getting 10 mil stuff that's not ass is very hard.
you're not wrong.
I was talking about that with the higher ups at the GW. I was like, because we were talking about what's coming out. Well, they were like, so what do you think about the Age of Sigmar skirmish game that's coming out? I'm like, Age of Sigmar's already skirmish. And they're like, well, this one specifically, I go, no. No, stop.
The you're talking about the Shadowspire thing, right?
Yeah.
That one is going to have... That one, from what I've heard, it's going to be focused on organized play and, like, competitive. So I'm interested to see what they do because I hear the not Necromunda game is pretty good.
Yeah.
So we'll
that's,
see.
And that's what I was talking about. I was like, you guys come out and you're like, look at this skirmish game. I'm like, ooh, Necromunda. Without anything that everyone loved about Necromunda. And I'm like, well go fuck off. No one cared about the play. Everyone just liked the really cool gangs.
I mean, most people thought the gang, there was like one cool gang and then there were a bunch of really bad, like.
No, everyone loved the gangs.
There was like two, like that game was like so 2000 AD.
Oh,
like,
it's so good though.
But that aesthetic does not sell anymore.
Arbites, man. Dalax.
Yeah.
What's the
Spyrer.
The Goliath with the big ass muscles.
Yes.
So much muscle mass in that game, Steve. So much. The rat skins. Oh, that game, everything in there was so cool. And they're just like, oh, now you can play with your...
I don't want to play with Spyrers. I want to play with my Necrons.
Yeah. Who wants to play Necromunda with Necrons? That's stupid. That would be Necron Munda.
Yeah, that's what I want. I want Necromunda.
And I was like, yeah, you shit the bed with that one. And then you come up and you're like, and that was, so we were talking. I was like, you know, Age of Sigmar skirmish. It's like, just bring back Mordheim. Just bring back Mordheim. You're like, I know that IP is technically dead with you guys, but no one's going to care.
The Skelebones look rad. The Shadowspire Skelebones, they look real cool.
Yeah, they're Skelebones.
I mean, they're the coolest Skelebones that GW's ever done. So
maybe
I would say that they're better than the previous best, which was the Vampire Count Skeleton.
Yeah, those guys were awesome.
Yeah, these guys are like the next step of those.
I'd have to see them in person. I always get wonky when, because I really hate the studio, the painter that they have for Age of Sigmar, or studio painters, because I don't like their paint jobs.
They just look like skeletons. Like the like paint job wise, like they look appropriate. Like skeletons are one of those things where it's kind of hard to be like harsh or really positive about them because it's like, does it look like a skeleton man? Yes. Okay. Let's move on.
That's you. I'll give you that. I'm a little more harsh on my Skelebones. I want good Skelebones.
Yeah, I think Skelebones are binary. They either look correct or they don't.
Because it's not about the Skelebones. It's about the accessories on the Skelebones, which is why the original like 5th edition plastic Skelebones that came out,
they were just Skelebones. They didn't have any accessories.
So they were fine. And they were great. Like, I'd always had like a box on hand because I'm always like, I need like a rib cage for something or other, and I'd just take it off the sprue and it'd be great. That's exactly what I needed it for. Oh, those models were so terrible.
Like, they were really bad
looking back, and they were so hard to put together.
Yep.
Oh my god,
they were super obnoxious to put together. The torso to the legs was so tiny.
Oh my
and
god.
And they were just break city. And then the Tomb Kings, they had like the additional accessories.
Sprue.
Yes. Yeah. So they were like the same old shitty models, but they had new nice looking accessories.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was
because you had the skull, the torso, two arms, the legs, mm-hmm. shield, which was two parts.
Yes. So the Tomb Kings, thankfully, had only a one part shield.
Yeah.
It was much bigger, too.
Yeah.
One of the nice things about that shield is that when you did it right, it actually obscured a lot of the skeleton model. So you actually had a very nice looking, like when you put the regiment together, they looked very cool when they had the shields in front.
I'm glad we started talking about vampire counts, because something that I've been meaning to bring up for like 3 months now, Rob Hawkins,
mm-hmm.
listener to the podcast, who also has his own blog. He does his 8th edition vampire counts, and we all make fun of him because
yeah,
just like,
I was just making fun of him on Twitter not too long ago. Like I was like, hey, what you gonna do with those square bases, bro?
you gonna use them for Kings of War? No, okay.
they look awesome.
He did a hobby article on his blog about how to make grass tufts.
Mm-hmm.
That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Like, if you haven't seen it, I would go to his blog, check it out, because I'm like, because I spend a lot of money on grass tufts because I use a lot of them. I don't like using the sprinkle grass anymore on my models.
Mm-hmm.
I like the tufts, and I'm like,
I also use the tufts.
And I'm like, fuck, this is amazing. I have to figure out how to do this myself so that I can get this perfect.
All right.
Yeah, it was pretty cool.
I like tufts, and I like clump foliage. Those are the things I like.
I don't use clump foliage as much as I used to.
I like it. It's not for everything, but when it works, it works.
Yeah. I like using leaf litter more than anything.
Oh, that's cool, too.
Yeah. Yes. Nerdy hobby stuff. I like leaf litter.
I mean, I think there's adding a I like to do one ofs. So like on a on an army, I always like to decide on what my accessory piece is going to be. So for example, my Nurgle demons and my Blight Kings, my accessory piece instead of being anything is the slime. It's the Nurgle's rot. That's my accessory piece. So it's
slime.
So it's painted, and then there are pits of slime. That's what I have done for that army. And then for like Chaos Warriors, I would do a wasteland, so I would probably choose one of the like grayish brown tufts. And I always like to do one thing on top of the sand. I don't like to mix. So if I'm doing clump foliage, like it's only clump foliage. I don't like doing clump foliage and static grass and leaf litter. I always like to pick just one complement to the base. I think it's easier. I think it looks tidy, and I think it produces the best effect. So that's me. And I only like the mixed medium of accessories on like competition models. So when someone has like, you know, their warrior through the forest and he's got like clump foliage and like leaves and trees and like there's the ivy vines and like it's super fancy and shit. That looks cool for a model that sole purpose is for you to sit and just stare at it. But when people like get that crazy for their armies, I'm just like, why?
I go crazy. Like,
I just don't get it.
It's fine. It's all in the great scheme of things, the great spectrum of Games Workshop modeling.
I like the
the spectrum of modeling.
I like the snap look. Like when you, if you're doing like an army that's in the fall and you do leaf litter, that's all you need. And it's like, bam, that army's going through the fall. Boom, done. Done.
Kid, I like your army.
Yeah, kid, nice.
Hey.
Or like snow. Like if you're doing snow, I like just, you know, snow. That's your accessory.
Well, yeah.
It's ground and snow.
A little bit, I guess.
One accessory is like the only exception to the one accessory rule is if you have a water kind of thing going on. I think you can use water and something. So if you did like, you know, wood elves going through like an autumn forest and you had like some guys in like using the upside down base with water effects, you know, there's that.
I've always talked about like getting like limiting my collection on stuff. You know what I'm going to get rid of? I'm getting rid of all of my GW plastic bases. All the square bases, all the circle bases, they're all going away because I don't need them anymore. I don't want them anymore. I don't use them anymore.
Nobody does.
I use MDF squares if I'm doing anything. Or not MDF. You know, like the plywood squares.
Yeah, that's
MDF.
MDF.
Okay. I don't know why all of a sudden I didn't think it was MDF. And then I, for circle bases, I use washers, metal washers. That's what I use because I'm not doing this anymore. I have so many bases. I have tubs full of bases for models. And I'm just like, I'm not going to use these anymore. This is awful. And when you said the upside down base, I'm like, that's such a terrible look. I hate that. I hate that so much.
The only person I've ever seen use it was actually you when you did your Lizard Man army.
Yep. And I'm like, nope, never again. This is dumb. Dumb. Oh, that Lizard Man army. I sold that army, and it was... I can't believe I sold that army, because it was terrible.
There's the best version of those is there's a... Well, I don't think he canceled it, or he does not make them anymore, but I know that Dragonforge did hollow square bases. Those looked great.
Yeah.
Because they looked correct, and also had a reservoir for your water effects.
Yeah. Yeah, I've seen it done... I've seen it done correctly. I've seen stuff like that work out, but nope, no way. I also came across because I'm doing the fantasy stuff again, I came up with I found out a term that I like that I'm going to be using from now on. It's called the Forever Army. It's the army that you have that you're never going to be completed with, but you can't get rid of. You don't suffer this problem.
No.
But there are many of us who do. That's my Empire army.
You think many of you who suffer under this debilitating pre-existing condition?
Yes, and my insurance will not cover me for my Forever army. It's like Dave Max with his with Vestroians.
Yes.
You know, he has like a kajillion just Vestroian models.
He has Vestroians like everywhere. Like you're just walking and you're like, what's this? This is a pile of Vestroians.
Yeah. It's like, why do anyone have this many Vestroians?
Vestroians are pretty rad.
Let's see. I talked about that and that. I'm trying to think if there's anything else like major news wise before we get into the Q&A stuff. Do you think you know any major news stuff?
No, not really.
No. All right. So we have for viewer mail. All right. So let's start at the beginning. And all right, Jason, is it Coep or Cap? I think I'm going to say Cap. Jason Cap.
It's polar bear.
Yeah. In what latitude and longitude did the wreck of the Hesperus occur? He's being a jackass.
What's the Hesperus?
It's an old thing. The only thing I know about the wreck of the Hesperus is from the song Lydia the Tattooed Lady. So I'm just going to assume it's going to be on wherever she's at that time. All right, so Brandon Myers asks, Dice Masters, Final Fantasy TCG, Star Wars Destiny, all three had supply issues, and when the stock does come in, it barely hits the shelves before it's sold out. Which game has the best chance of surviving?
Of those three?
Yeah.
None of them.
None of them?
They're all going to die.
Yeah?
They're all going to die because of the supply. Dice Masters is already technically dead because Dice Masters was killed by supply availability, so nobody gives a shit about Dice Masters anymore. Final Fantasy, same, and Star Wars, same. The Star Wars had a chance to pull it back with the most recent release, which was this week. It came out on May the 4th. Hey, May the 4th be with you.
By the way, the real...
That really infuriated me because it fucked up my release schedule for a bunch of other games because I had to ship things in different orders because stupid-ass Star Wars was coming out on Thursday instead of Friday.
Yeah, that's kind of stupid.
Yeah, so that made me extra annoyed.
It kind of annoys me just in the fact of, I'm going to be a little pedantic here, but I guess, well, maybe not pedantic, but I always think Star Wars...
Shallow and pedantic. Thanks, Professor.
Yes. Star Wars Day is May 25th to me. The day that Star Wars was released, May the 4th, that's stupid. That's stupid because you're making fun of people with lisps. Anyway... he also asks, what are some IPs that you think would translate well into tabletop or board games? We've talked about that before.
Yeah, that's one of our frequent topics of conversation. Yeah.
I think right now I'm still thinking that the WWE Classic Wrestling would be the best IP that would translate into
an RPG.
To an RPG.
Because they have the tabletop game, the Slam Masters, which is pretty good.
Yeah, no, I think like a good WWE/WWF wrestling game would be perfect for RPGs, good one-offs or
campaign. Think someone actually linked one to it wasn't licensed though.
Well, they did do.
I want stats for the Ultimate Warrior.
Yeah, he said all three of them.
Yeah, and Andre the Giant.
Andre the Giant. If you play Andre the Giant, you have to talk like Andre the Giant.
Yeah, which won't work because nobody can talk like Andre the Giant except for Andre the Giant.
Yeah, and or any of the classic WWE wrestlers, you have to talk like
Ooh,
them.
Oh yeah.
The cream.
The cream's going to rise to the top, Hogan.
Game of Thrones miniatures game. How much should we budget for that?
$0?
Well,
that's how much I would suggest budgeting for it.
Well, when it comes
just going to waste your money.
I'd say it's about $100. It's going to be about a hundo.
Yeah,
on release.
I would say that getting into any miniatures game at this point that isn't Games Workshop is wasting your money other than small. Like, let me see the scale of Game of Thrones first.
Oh, it's going to be it's small. You're only getting like, I think, 20 minis in the box.
Okay, so then maybe we'll be fine. But like
maybe 20 minis in the box.
So we'll see. But like as far as it, like if I was going to get into a miniatures game right now that wasn't Workshop, the only reasonable choice is Arena Rex.
Yeah, I mean, the size of it, because it's going to be like, it's like a 35 mil game or 32 mil game, that it's going to, the models are larger, you can't have, and it's going to be circle-based skirmish, so it's not going to be a huge game. You're going to have fielding maybe max on your side 15 to 20 guys, probably, okay. I don't know. But that's what I'm saying, it's going to be about $100 for the base
even
set.
Even that's a little big for me, in my opinion. I think I would stick with smaller, like Arena Rex size.
Who's putting that out? Is that Cool Mini who's doing that?
I believe so.
Okay, so there's probably going to be a Kickstarter for it.
Probably.
All right. Next, why do I bother asking real questions? And what are your holy grails games you would pay anything for if you could find them? That's a good one for Steve.
Nothing.
No, nothing?
No, anything that's like... There's like a threshold that I have, and I've always had it.
Aside from money wise, what are some of the games that you wish you could have?
Oh, okay. Like not counting the fact that it's super valuable, so I would just sell it.
Yeah.
I kind of own everything I want like that. The only other thing I could think of was the West End Ghostbusters game, but I have that now thanks to a great listener.
Yeah.
So, like, I guess the rest of the Lamentations books would be it. Like, I want the rest of the Lamentations books. And then I have the Ghostbusters West End thing. And, yeah, that's kind of it. I don't really have, like, a...
Like a specific.
I'm at the age and I have enough disposable income where if there's something I really want, I just get it.
That's kind of where I'm at.
So it's like, it's like, oh, I'm just going to buy that. Like, you know, like the Lamentations books, the reason I don't have all of them is because I just haven't really bought them. And then there's a few that are not available at any price because you just can't find them. Yeah. And then like there's ones like Better Than Any Man. Like, I can't justify paying the $75 for Better Than Any Man because it was free. Like, I can't do that. Like, I would pay like $20 for it. Like, that's already unreasonable.
What if you saw it for $21?
Well, sure.
But what about $22, Steve?
I don't know. I mean, if you want to get like the plus or minus, sure. But I think that's already pretty reasonable for a game that was free. Like, literally free. Like, no one paid for it. So other than that, I kind of have what I want, and I'm going to start collecting Starfinder. So
Starfinder,
he's the man. Yeah, I know. I kind of have whatever.
Yeah. For me personally, I don't think I'm like Steve in a lot of ways where it's like, I don't, if I come across something that I want, I'm going to get it. For me, with stuff that I'm currently looking, that I'm always on the lookout for, I'm still always on the lookout for second ed AD&D. There's a couple box sets that I'm currently I'm missing. There's very few, but I'm looking for them. There's not many that I probably would pay any price for. I'm such a like bin diver, and I'm always going to use bookstores and stuff like that. That sometimes, like, I'll see something that I want, and I see a price for it, and I go, no.
I mean, even for something like, because
the internet makes it so widely
like
available.
HeroQuest. Yeah, like, it would be cool to have a complete thing of HeroQuest, but I would never hunt for that, and I would never pay a lot for it because it's just gonna sit in my closet.
Yeah,
like, I'm not gonna do anything with it. I'm not gonna get friends over and play fucking HeroQuest. You know,
you can have me come over and play some HeroQuest.
No one's coming over to play HeroQuest. So
we'll put on Conan, play some HeroQuest.
Yeah, it's kind of like
some dice, go through the dungeon.
That
we'll fight some orcs.
That collectible.
Oh, Steve, a spider showed up.
Drive is kind of gone for me when it comes to games, because like games have no function other than their use, like. They're not, you know, it's like I have every amiibo, like, yeah. Every amiibo is that is produced, I have, but they have a function other than what they do. They sit on the shelf and they're like, oh, cool looking. Like, your shelf full of boxed board games doesn't look cool. It's just
a shelf full of boxed board games. However, I do have my shelves that are filled with all my D&D stuff. All right.
I mean, books are cool. Like a book collection is cool. Even if you have a shit ton of them, it's still pretty rad because it's like, oh, books.
Yeah, that's pretty much what I have. All right.
Books are an aesthetic.
Yes. James has asked us, has Joe's wife already got a handyman in to sort out whatever Joe was supposed to be doing when he ascended the ladder? So what I was doing when I was ascending the ladder, I was fixing a window. I was caulking a window because the caulk had...
Did you say you really caulked it up?
I caulked it up. The caulk had dried up. The silicone had dried up. So I was cutting away the silicone, and I was putting the new silicone on when I fell. Luckily, it had rained recently, and the seal had held, so the falling and breaking my back was not in vain. The window had held. So I've done it. So where are we at? Oh, Jasper Mangus asks, Scorpion or Crane political deck, Steve?
Obviously, Scorpion.
Scorpion political deck. Well, the Scorpion are the behind-the-scenes master with their masks. Oh, man. Brett Miles asks us, does the shape of the GW Dwarf Airship indicate that GW are now catering to people who like to insert miniatures into their anus, or would lube still be required?
A, lube is always required, and B, they've always catered to people who want to insert miniatures into their anus.
I was at the GW store, and they had the two airships there. I was just like, this thing is massive.
Yeah, they're
huge. It is huge.
Super
like,
cool.
The smaller one is a decent size, yeah. But the big one, that's a massive ship.
Yeah, they're red.
It's almost like a giant penis with two testicles on it. However, the testicles are aligned straight forward as opposed to
it's
side by
side. It's a disfigured penis.
Yes. So what I'm thinking is that I'm going to model it so that the ship is on top and the air balloons are on the bottom side by side lifting up the ship. I think that would look better. I don't know. What do you think on that one?
As long as you paint it in a flesh tone.
I'll have one that's hanging slightly lower than the other air balloon.
Perfect.
And maybe...
And what you could do is you can get a bunch of the dwarves and you can have them hanging from ropes from the balloons and have them swinging on it.
Oh, so little ropes on below the balloons?
Yes.
Oh, I see what you're
saying. And you have
all
the dwarves swinging on it.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that'll work. Mm-hmm. That'll work. Yeah, I like that idea. Maybe I'll put like...
And a flamethrower at the tip shooting white-hot flames.
I was going to say, maybe I could put like a cannon at the tip of it. Shooting white-hot flames. Oh, don't make me laugh. It hurts. Anthony Carroll asks, what are the best gaming show tunes?
I don't know what that is.
I don't know any gaming show tunes either. I would say pretty much anything from Music Man, maybe? I don't know. Maybe some other Rogers and Hammerstein.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what a gaming show tune is, so I'm gonna have to pass on that one.
How about Gary Indiana? Oh no, Steve! You know what the best gaming show tune is? There's Trouble, My Friends, right here in River City.
That's true.
It's Trouble that starts with, right. It's Trouble
starts
that
with P and that rhymes with pool.
It's Trouble that starts with T that rhymes with P and that stands for pools, my friend. We got trouble,
right here in River City.
Right here in River City. That's the best gaming show tune. Let's see. Ian Davies of the Kinks asks, if Age of Sigmar is already a skirmish game, what is Age of Sigmar skirmish going to be?
A skirmishier version.
I don't understand. Every company that does.
I mean, it's going to have the ability to have tracking, leveling up your guys and stuff. Like that's every tier you go down, like just because you're not using a lot of models, like you can say not a lot of models is a skirmish game. That's fine. And that generally is the rule of thumb. Yeah. But I think if you're going to go the step below that to make it even more skirmishier is to give them like level ups, gear, that kind of stuff.
And then eventually they're going to go to Age of Sigmar single model.
Where it's just one dude versus one dude.
One dude versus one.
And there's lots of charts.
You got like 300 charts to go through. You have charts just for naming him, you know, like what's his middle name? What's his nickname? You got to roll through all of that stuff. And then eventually they're going to have Age of Sigmar no models where you sit and look at each other and then describe how you're going to play the game. So, and you have to buy a rule book for that as well. So there you go on that one. Daniel Vis1Cade asks, how hard is everyone for 8th edition 40K? A name of a thread in a local forum normally filled with butthurt, neckbeardiness, and every non-GW system. Is that not just the empirical evidence of how GW has somehow managed to reclaim some of its ostracized previous market?
Forgot the second part. Or are they just another shit corp trying to pander to your fields by bringing back your childhood Necromunda 2nd edition 40K, et cetera, with new badges?
As we said before, Games Workshop is going on his goodwill tour where they're kind of rolling back all of the shitty stuff they've done for how long has it been? About 5-6 years?
Yeah, 5 or 6 years. Like everything that people actually have like been bitching about for a long time, like they're actually going, oh, well, you know, we're gonna go ahead and not do this.
It's been longer. It's gotta be like 7 or 8 years that they've been real shitheads.
Yeah, probably.
Since like 2008. Ish,
yeah,
maybe.
Maybe right.
And I think that they've kind of like realized that, oh shit, we've been an awful company and we need to do some stuff that's
because they got hit in their wallet.
Yeah, which is fine. I mean, that's
how you tell a company you don't like them.
That's the free market. Every single like Ayn Randian.
It's a simple fact.
Scott Walker is flexing his muscles, going, yeah, free market.
Your actual impact on the world and your ability to interact with anything is pretty much just limited by your ability to spend money.
Yeah.
Like anything you want to do, the only real influence you have, it's a very small amount of influence. and it's to spend money. So if you don't like something, don't buy it.
Yeah.
That's the only way you can actually drop influence.
I mean,
so Games Workshop, if they clearly were suffering financial loss because people didn't like what they were doing and people stopped buying. That's the key. You have to have you can't just bitch and continue to buy. If you bitch and don't buy, then you have the ability to make a move.
Yeah. I mean, it's absolutely right. And that's what happened with Fantasy, and that's why Fantasy went bye-bye.
Yep.
No one was playing 8th edition.
No one was
Fantasy.
Buying Fantasy models.
Yeah.
It was a dead game.
40K, people were still buying 40K models, but they realized that, oh, shit,
people weren't buying it.
Yeah. But Age of Sigmar was doing well. So, fuck,
doing well after a arguably very rocky launch.
Yes. Well, I mean, they, as we said, they did the and so like big problems with Age of Sigmar. Just to recap, came out, no point costs, nothing like that. So everyone was just like, they were lost in the wilderness. Yeah. They had no idea how to play this damn game.
We're in the weeds.
Yeah, they were in the weeds. The only people who were really into it were either like hardcore GW fanboys or the people at the GW stores were like, no, this game's really cool, guys. Here, let's show you. But now the General's Compendium came out, you're able to put together points. Second thing was that when the models came out, the Ironjaw orcs and the Fire Slayer dwarves, and even some of the chaos stuff was ridiculously expensive. I mean, I would
say the Fire Slayers by far were beyond the pale.
I mean, everything in that first like four army launch was ridiculously high, like just painfully high.
Mm.
That goes all the way to the Stormcast Eternals or whatever they're called right now, the Sigmarines. Those guys are ridiculously expensive. Well, I mean, $40 for a single guy that's beyond the pale for me. I would never pay $40 for a single model. I will shoplift that single model before I paid $40 for it if I felt it was absolutely necessary. But yeah, so I mean, that was like the initial release. 40K's prices have always been relatively comparable. They're not bad. I mean, everything they've been putting out for it has been ridiculously, monstrously huge. So that's why it kind of, they justify the $120, you know, dollar cost for it because it's giant. But now everything is kind of going back. They're like rolling back prices a little bit. They're
standardizing.
They're standardizing the prices a little bit. Yeah. They're being nice. They're putting out stuff that people want, even in limited runs.
And they did that. They relaunched that the Skaven versus Elves box, and it's still cheap.
Yeah.
It's not called Isle of Blood anymore.
It's something similar to that.
And like, that's cheap again. So that's awesome. And people really wanted those models back because that's got some of the best Skaven models in there.
Oh, hands down. All right. Where are we at? My phone turned off.
We are here. If the rumors about correctly scaled Space Marines are true, how many Marine armies do you expect to see burned by upset Bolter lovers on YouTube? I don't know what the rumors are.
Okay. So here's what it is that basically you have your Space Marines, right?
Mm-hmm.
Now they are creating a special type of Space Marine that is a big Space Marine.
Okay.
So in your army of Ultramarines, you're also going to have Ultramarines.
Oh.
In there.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. So it's not actually there will be true scale Space Marines,
but they're buffed.
But they're like a special unit.
Oh, okay.
From what I hear.
That sounds
I don't
cool.
know if this is necessarily true.
No, that sounds
but
fine.
But it's like they're going to be about the size of the Age of Sigmar guys, which are pretty big.
Yeah, they're like the Age of Sigmar guys are like in between a Terminator and a regular Marine.
Yeah,
they're bigger than a regular Marine, but they're not quite as big as a Terminator. Not quite. Not as wide as a Terminator. They're about as tall. So that's cool. That sounds cool to me.
Yeah. So what's next?
Age of Sigmar is based on the gods of the former Old World. What god are the airship squats meant to represent? I didn't know that any of the armies are based on the gods of the Old World. I don't know any of the gods of the Old World other than the Chaos Gods. So I have no idea.
I'm gonna say
they're made to represent Squaticus.
They're made to represent God Baron Harkonnen.
Yes, Baron Harkonnen, floating around and Sting underpants
and pulling out people's heart plugs. I just rewatched Dune the other day. I fucking love that movie.
Kyle MacLachlan's really cool in that movie.
It's such a terrible movie and it's so long and boring, but I love it.
Yeah, it's an awful movie. But
my
it's great.
Name is a killing word, Steve.
David Lynch's work for me is like it's bad but it's compelling. Like Twin Peaks is like that. Like Twin Peaks is overall like in a vacuum, Twin Peaks is not a good show.
No,
but it is compelling. Like the character it's very long.
Well, you only need to watch a season and a half of it.
The characters are very weird.
And a movie.
The characters are very weird, but it's funny. It's got like really great moments.
It's got David Duchovny in drag.
It does have David Duchovny in drag. He's very funny in that show. So it's like a weird thing where like I'd recommend it, but I'd let people know that it's like a very acquired taste.
It's one of those things that you have to look in the history of TV shows for. If you watched it now, you have to understand where people were in the late 80s, early 90s when it came out.
It was huge when it came out.
Because there was nothing like that existed on TV. And that's why I say about X-Files is like X-Files still holds up.
Minus the first season, which is pretty bad.
I like some of the first season. The stuff
there's
with
some good episodes, but overall, it's not a very good season.
I'll stick by most of the first season, but except for the astronaut one. That one's terrible because that's all done with like stock footage.
Yeah.
But the thing is that nothing like that existed in the 90s. Nothing like X-Files existed, and so all of a sudden, like when they were like, you'd have one episode reference the next episode, and the next episode reference the previous episode. Yeah. People's minds were blown.
Like, whoa!
TV could be, there could be a continuity? Because before that, I think the only show that did that
was Star Trek.
Star Trek didn't even do that.
The Next Generation did.
Next Generation, there was very little continuity from episode to episode.
But they had a few. Not like X-Files. X-Files was the next step.
Yeah.
I would say it started with Star Trek.
No, it started with Hill Street Blues, if you want to get into the truth.
I have no idea what that
exactly.
is.
And even Star Trek didn't do it till the later seasons. It was like, four or five when they started doing
that. No, I'm not saying
that.
Like Star Trek was like all about that, but that was where, like...
The only times that they really referenced a previous episode is if it was a two-parter.
Yes. Well, yes, of course.
All right. So we got a couple more to go through.
Paymaster Games is looking at making an RPG for their going native setting. If you were going to do this, would you, one, make it a module for one or both main RPG systems, Pathfinder / 5th Ed, two, create your own system, three, something different? I would absolutely make it a module for both 5th Edition and Pathfinder.
I agree with Steve. If you want to make something that's profitable... That's the way you do it.
Yes. And just get people to try it. Because, you know, like getting people to learn your RPG is like sketchy. I would make a mod. I would make it for both. Make a Pathfinder version and a 5th edition version. That is what I would do.
There's probably not much variation between the two where you'd have to like really be swingy.
Yeah. I mean, they're pretty close to one another. So you could very easily release a book. You could probably release a double book if you wanted. But I would keep it separate.
Yeah.
I would do a Pathfinder version and a 5th ed. More from Raza. I have always liked block unit style of war games. With the death of traditional Warhammer and Warhammer Historical, do you feel that block style games are dead, or is there a chance of them making a comeback with King's War? There's not a chance of them making a comeback with King's War. Rune Wars is their chance, and I don't know if Rune Wars is going to survive. So
I'm with Steve in that I don't necessarily...
I'm going to say they're probably dead.
I don't necessarily know if Rune Wars is going to survive. I like Rune Wars, and I like the stuff that they're putting out for it. I think it's cool. I think it's a really cool throwback to 5th edition days. And I like the smaller. They got some pretty cool Skellabones. Speaking of Skellabones.
Yes, they do. I like their Maggot Rider thing.
Yeah.
It's cool.
They're never... No, block style gaming is gone. The only people that really keep block style gaming alive are historical gamers.
Mm-hmm.
And Kings of War is essentially just there so that people who still have their old fantasy armies can play.
Yes.
Which is fine. That's great, too. But... Yeah,
nobody's getting into Kings of War. Yeah. Not at this point.
Yeah, I think that the Rune Wars one might do well. I think what it's going to depend on is it going to be depend on LGS stores pushing it in their stores. But the problem is that it's Fantasy Flight, Asmodee.
And they gave away a shit ton of it at Adepticon, which damaged the sellability of the game.
Yeah.
I had customers cut their pre-orders from like 20 units to 3 because they were like, they gave away so many at Adepticon, like all my customers who wanted it got, like, I actually had a guy who was complaining. He's like, yeah, all my customers came in with their fucking Rune Wars that they got for free at Adepticon, and I'm sitting here staring at the ones on my shelf like an idiot.
Yeah.
That does not breed goodwill. That breeds goodwill between the manufacturer and the consumer, but it doesn't breed goodwill between the manufacturer and the store, which is that's the goodwill you need to keep a game alive.
Well, and also the fact that, you know, I'm kind of surprised you haven't seen more X-Wing blisters start hitting the shelves at, like, Target. Like, yeah, they'll sell X-Wing at Target, but they're not going to sell the individualized blisters of the ships. I'm kind of surprised that hasn't happened yet. But Rune Wars, you might see the box set at Target. I would say it'd be a smart, logical step for Fantasy Flight, Asmodee to start sell blisters on shelves in stores. I mean, granted, I don't know how much you got to pay for shelf space in a store like that, in a big box store, but I'm just saying. Anyway, last one. Two more from Raza. You guys have your fingers closer to the pulse of the gaming industry. I heard recently that a Star Wars squad level war game was in development. Is there any truth to this rumor? And if it is true, who is working on it?
Not that I have heard at all.
Not that if it's going to be anyway, it's going to be Fantasy Flight.
And with Imperial Assault existing, I find it very unlikely that there's a not... like, maybe there's going to be some sort of variant of Imperial Assault, but that sounds like someone just wishlisting.
Yeah, I'm going to say that if it is true, which I have not heard anything about, that it's basically something that Fantasy Flight is working out so that, you know, to work with their Imperial Assault figures. God, that'd be such a terrible idea. Like a squad-based Star Wars game.
Yeah, it's stupid.
Yeah, you always have two. So you have Rebels and you have Imperials. And then you'll always be like, well, what about the Bounty Hunter faction? You say, shut up, you asshole.
they're called Scum and Villainy, I believe.
The Black Sun Corporation.
There's a faction name for them in X-Wing, but I can't remember what it is.
I thought they were just like, yeah, I think it's Scum and Villainy, whatever.
Yeah.
Like the Bounty Hunters, Black Sun Corporation. It's Prince Shizor! here's a question you might not have been asked before. One of you guys works a distributor job. I'm assuming that's what you put. How does new product companies make it into distributor sales lists if it's true that successful Kickstarters are not even considered for distribution?
You contact the buyers of a distributor. So if you sell like a miniatures game, you want to find out who buys miniatures for the distributor. You contact them via email or phone call to, you know, hawk your wares. A successful Kickstarter does not immediately bar you from distribution, as seen by games like Scythe, Terraforming Mars, Dark Souls, and many, many other successful Kickstarters that have moved on to being in-demand distribution-based items. So, yeah. No, that is not accurate.
I would suppose that if you were an independent company that has never had a success, that has one successful Kickstarter, it's going to be difficult.
Gloomhaven would throw that in the... Throw its hat in the ring in that regard.
All right, Jason Yarborough. Rune Wars Miniatures looks like a decent game, but also looks like it's going to fail. What's the best failed game out there? Paymaster Games put in Clan Wars. I love it.
I'd say the best failed game out there...
Miniatures game. It just says best failed game. Okay.
I'll go with miniatures game because that's...
It's easier.
I believe that's also what he's trying to go with.
Yeah.
Probably AT-53 or whatever that AT-45.
One.
AT-45? The Rackham one.
Yeah.
That's probably what I would go with.
Yeah. It is a shame, too, because that game failed because of the failure of Age of Ragnarok.
Yes.
Or Ragnarok.
Yes. That game was a success for them, and then they tried to copy it for their other line, Confrontation, and it tanked their company.
And that would actually be my... thing for like the best failed game would be Confrontation. You have the best sculpts out of any miniatures line known to mankind. The best sculpts. You have a game that is
questionable.
It's questionable, but it was the time of questionable games.
Yes.
Like people would play a questionable game because it had cool miniatures. That's fine. It was a small skirmish game. You needed no more than like maybe 10 models to play that game. It was on point for like everything that you needed. Great models. Yeah, okay, rules. I think that if they had gone like another edition or two in that same format, they might have eventually gotten to a point where the game was pretty good. Like maybe the success level of like Malifaux. Maybe. But then they decided to go pre-paint with kind of shitty sculpts.
And put everything on circle bases.
And the game just went...
Yeah, just fucking tanked. It tanked so bad it tanked their company.
It was pretty bad.
Yeah. Like you can't get any worse than a game closing your company's doors.
Yeah.
And that's what it did.
And that's the same thing I would say.
Which is unfortunate because they went that direction because AT-45 was such a success.
Yeah. Or is it AT? I think it's AT-43.
It was AT some number.
Yeah. I have a bunch of those figures.
They were pretty cool. I liked their mechs.
Yeah, they were all... It's all pre-painted. They were nice sculpts. But that was the problem was that you had one game, Ragnarok, Confrontation Ragnarok, killed both the original Confrontation line... And the AT-43.
Yep.
It's AT-43.
I think it's AT-43. I think you're right.
So, because it was originally supposed to be an alternate World War II game, which is what Dust became.
Right.
But it was, like, they ended up doing sci-fi stuff with it. Yeah, the mechs were pretty cool and everything like that. I liked it.
And the mechs were awesome because they came in those storage crates, which were also terrain.
Yeah.
That was cool.
Well, they came with the crates. They didn't.
Well, yeah, but you know what I mean. They came with terrain, which was a nice feature.
Clan Wars also a fantastic game that failed because you had to have a giant army of lead to play. I'm trying to think of like other, but most of those games around that time. Actually, from what I know, Vor, the Maelstrom, was a really, really solid game that people loved to play, but that just failed. It was like a great rule set that people just failed. All right, last question. Will 40K switch to square bases soon, or should I be hold on and rebasing until next year? All right, guys, thank you for listening. Go to planetarbitrary.com for your Planet Arbitrary needs. You can follow me on Twitter at Planet Arbitrary. You can follow Steve at
I am Command Throw.
Like our Facebook page /GameClassyPodcast. The best way you can help out the podcast is to like, comment, subscribe on iTunes. You could also like, comment, subscribe on our YouTube page where we put up the stuff and then people, you know, call us names. You can listen to our sister podcast. We have Play On Podcast featuring Steve and Pat B of Pat B's Retro Video Game Review Podcast, where they talk about video games.
We're going to be recording tonight.
What are you going to talk about?
I don't know. I'm probably going to be talking about the Hitbox.
Hitbox?
Yeah.
What's the Hitbox?
It is a stickless arcade stick.
A stickless arcade stick.
Yeah, it's all buttons.
It's all buttons.
It's pretty cool.
It sounds interesting.
It's very surprising.
You have to use your hands?
Well, of course.
It's a baby's game.
you use your hands like a baby's toy.
Thank you for getting that reference. You could also listen to Comic Book Logic, which will be coming back next week. We're going to be reviewing Guardians of the Galaxy 2. You already got a little bit of preview of what I was thinking. I'm going to see it again tonight over at the drive-in. Got to bring the kids to the drive-in. You could also listen to the new episode of Weeb Town when that one drops. I don't know if Steve's got another one in the can.
Yeah, but we'll get it there at some point.
Get it there.
What do you
Young Giuseppe talk about?
We're kind of just talking about whatever's like the current anime. Like,
you talk about the Pokemon,
the season. Well, no, because like we don't really do the ongoing stuff. It's always about like when you're covering anime or talking about it, you always want to be talking about like for the most part. Anime's all broken down into seasons, and it's all broken down by season. So, like, spring 2017, like, the lineup. And then, like, winter 2017, the lineup. Because they don't have all of their... For an anime to get a second season is generally pretty uncommon. In most cases, you're going to get whatever you get. So, like, if they debut, like, Ero Manga Sensei, it's going to have 18 episodes, spring 2017. Flat, like that's it. That's all you are promised. If it comes back, it could be years later.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah.
How do these young anime people afford the apartments that they live in?
Their parents pay for it.
How do their parents pay for it?
Rent in Japan is super reasonable.
Is it because of the aging population that is slowly dying off with not enough young people to take over?
I mean, there is that, but also there's a couple things about that. Like one, I guess moving out when you're younger and going to attending school is very common in Europe and Japan. I guess it's like a normal thing. Like they send you out of the house, they set you up in an apartment, and you go to school near there. I guess that's really common outside, not in the States.
No,
but it's super common in Europe and like Germany and stuff, and then Japan, like, well, super common thing.
They don't want young people getting, you know, sexually transmitted diseases.
Also, in Japan, rent is extraordinarily cheap. A nice apartment in Tokyo will run you $1,500 a month. A nice apartment in Tokyo, like $1,500 a month. And if you know anything about the States, like a shitty apartment in New York will probably run you $3,000 a month. So that's the kind of difference there. So if you're not in Tokyo, you could get like the apartment that we're in right now would probably be like in like outside of Tokyo, an apartment this size right now would probably be like $1,000 a month.
Yeah.
And like this would be a giant apartment in Japan.
Well, it would have to be giant for us giant Americans.
It's true. But like the average, like a normal size apartment in Japan, which is not actually that small, probably like $500 or less. Like it's not real estate is not expensive.
How is that in yen? Anyway,
In yen it'd be $50,000.
All right. So Steve, until next time.
Just remember, a yen is a penny on average. So 100 yen is a dollar.
Is that your final say?
Sure.
Game Classy.